Welcome to the For the Church podcast, another great gospel-centered resource from Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. My name is Jared Wilson. I'm an assistant professor of pastoral ministry and author in residence at Midwestern Seminary. And I'm here as always, though not for long, with my friend and my colleague and my co-host.
I'm not your colleague for long.
Yeah, AD of ministry placement, but not for long.
Is that going to be now a theme for the next few episodes?
I don't know. Well, I may just like lapse into old habits. It's Ross Ferguson, who's on watch.
On watch?
I don't know. Yeah. We're keeping an eye on you.
You don't know what to say now.
You got short timers.
Short timers.
Yeah. If you haven't listened to the last episode, then you will know Ross made an announcement that he's going to be returning to pastoral ministry. There's lots of applause for that. No,
that's laughter. No.
None of these are right.
What I would say is you shouldn't have told people in this episode as punishment for not listening to the very end of the last episode.
Yeah.
You should have went like, big announcement, psych, you should have listened to the last episode.
Well, you know, we'll see. I'm hoping that we don't get a lot of negative reviews from, based on your announcement. In the meantime, we've got some very good reviews. This comes from Drew G. Drew G. says, insightful, helpful, practical. 5 stars. The For the Church podcast is a great resource for anyone who enjoys meaningful conversations around the various topics of pastoral ministry. I would describe this podcast in 3 words. Insightful. Ross and Jared always offer wisdom rooted in Scripture, and their experience as pastors allows them to have good, meaningful dialogue around a variety of topics. Helpful. The dialogue from this podcast always seems to help my mindset in pastoral ministry. Ross and Jared always provide me with helpful principles to think about. And thirdly, practical. Ross and Jared give good practical advice to the challenges of pastoral ministry. You can tell this guy's a preacher. He's got three points.
He's got 3 points.
Yeah. And they're symmetrical, insightful, helpful, practical. This podcast, he says, also includes a bit of lighthearted banter, a smooth and rich, I don't know if I would qualify it that, Scottish accent.
Smooth and rich. I like that.
Who has ever called a Scottish accent smooth?
If you're from Edinburgh, it's smooth. If you're from Glasgow, it's rough.
Okay. A smooth and rich Scottish accent and a never-ending debate on why Jared's not a fan of Christian movies. Whether you're driving, doing yard work, or working out, this podcast is a joy to listen to. Thank you so much, Drew G. This comes from R.K. Garzon. Really only 2 stars, he says, even though he leaves a 5-star review. I'm leaving a 5-star review because Ross and I are Facebook friends, but Jared left me on read, and read, R-E-A-D, or read. I know what he's talking about. He's talking about on text messages where, like, you don't respond to someone and it just says you read their text message.
Oh.
That's what he means. So in reality, because of that, I'm only rating it 2 stars because there are only 2 pod stars, J-Pop and Roferg. Rick, you're losing me, brother. Psych, he said. Man, you lost me again. Thankful. I'm giving your review, Ricky. I'm giving your review 2 stars. Thankful for this podcast, or he actually says PCast. Come on, man. You're killing me. Especially the latest one on preaching. Great stuff. All right. We're picking back up again. Keep at it, my friends. And Jared, check your text messages. Well, listen, brother, I didn't know what you were talking about when I read this review. So I was like, what is he talking about? I went to my text messages. Sure enough, there was a message from Ricky. And it was one of those, brother, like, I'm sure you have this as well, where you get so many text messages and it's something that you think, I can't respond to this like quickly, or I'm not sure. And I'll come back to it. And then you forget.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. And I'm very sorry that happened. So I'll reply to you later, Ricky.
Also, never call me Ro Ferg again.
Don't. It's Lil Ferg. It's not
no,
Ro
I'm
Ferg.
No, I'm not even taking that.
It's Lil Ferg.
No.
Come on, get it straight. That's longtime listeners know that's what
J-Pop,
it is.
It's not J-Pop, it's J-Money.
It's J-Money and Lil Ferg. Okay, this comes from Pastor Daniel G. Pastor Daniel G says, the best, the best, all caps, podcast for pastors. 5 stars. I'd give it 10 stars. See, Ricky, this is how a review is written. I'd give it 10 stars if I could. I've been listening to the For the Church podcast since 2018 when I was first praying about going to seminary. I've learned so much from the FTC podcast, and I'm always blessed by the wisdom and insight that Jared, Ross, and so many others have shared on this podcast. Man, Daniel G, thank you so much. That's a great, great review. Finally, this comes from B. Allen 122. B. Allen 120. You don't think this is our B. Allen, do you, Bradley Allen?
No, it's not. Okay. This is Bob Allen.
Oh, it's Bob Allen. Yeah, we know Bob. It's another B. Allen we know. I'm going to say Ballin. Ballin 122. Genuine heartfelt Thanksgiving. 5 stars. Bob says, guys, at Ross's request, I am updating my review from... Man, not only are you getting new reviews, you're telling people to go back and revise their reviews?
I should add, he put on a review, I think, about the turn of when, just as I was coming onto the podcast.
Okay.
So this is like 2.5 years ago, maybe 3 years ago.
You're like deep cuts.
Well, I asked him, have you left a review? And he was like, yeah, I left a review. It's just like, just as you came on. I was like, that was 3 years ago. Update it. And so this is him updating the review.
Okay. At Ross's request, I am updating my review from several years back. That's a new thing we should push for. If you have left a review, hey, go back and make it better.
No, key thing, if you were the 1-star review back in the day where Jared did his solo episodes, get back on and give a 5-star.
That's like such in the distant past. Bob continues to say, I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciate what you two get up to in these weekly episodes. Week after week, you pull back the curtain to model for us what Christian discourse and friendship should look and sound like from persiflage. I don't even know what that means, Bob. And I'm an English guy. Persiflage to poignancy. I don't know that I've ever seen that word.
Persiflage.
I am halfway tempted to think he either made it up or it's misspelled something.
Oh, I'm going to have to look this up while you're typing it.
Well, yeah, okay. From persiflage or persiflage to poignancy. You might need to revise your review again, Bob.
Persiflage is a word.
What does it mean?
Light and slightly contemptuous mockery or banter.
Oh, brother. So someone got the thesaurus out.
Nice use of word, but Bob, not too clever for us.
Bob's a thesaurus, right?
Bob, you're going to have to redo your review again.
Yeah. Your words make me smile, laugh, cry, and say, amen. Even though Jared's fascination with cryptids and Ross's delight in Christian cinema, I don't miss an episode. Many thanks for all that you do to encourage and challenge and support pastors and congregants through this work. Keep it up, guys, and may Jesus be big in your family's lives and ministries. Oh, it almost sounded like the end of the episode.
Yeah, Bob just made me feel really stupid.
I don't feel stupid. I feel like, you know, you're using a $10 word when, you know, a 5-cent one.
Persiflage.
Never even heard of that. How have I never encountered that word before?
Miriam and I like persiflage as our humor. Lighthearted mockery.
Okay. Well, speaking of you and Miriam, we're talking about prodigal parents. That's the best transition ever. We need to label these buttons, I think.
Yeah.
Over here.
So I'm a prodigal parent then?
No.
I mean, if you...
You're going to be prodigal from here because you're going out. You're going to Canada. Okay, going to the Great White North.
So I'm
going to
get that every episode.
You went
now
out from us, you know, because you were not one of us.
My current boss actually keeps telling me I keep backstabbing him. But so if you know some of our kids,
yeah,
maybe I am.
No. You know, this seemed... I won't say it's more common, but it just seems like in this ministry season, I encounter more believers who are asking for counsel or advice or just words of wisdom or just prayer for how their relationship is going with their unbelieving parents or an unbelieving parent, a parent who is not a believer. Or who is in some ways far from God. Maybe they think, hey, you know, I really can't speak to their, the credibility of their profession or the, reliability of it, but they're just not walking with the Lord or, they're going to a church that doesn't preach the gospel. I mean, so that just seems like a shift where in my younger, ministry days, I felt like I was hearing a lot more from parents talking about prodigal
children.
Kids. My son is far from God, et cetera. And, obviously both are still issues in the church. But I just thought, we've never done an episode about this. And I think it might be of relevance both to pastors giving advice, but also to folks listening who maybe have an unbelieving parent.
Yeah, I think the starting place is to recognize that this really is a problem and knowing how to handle it. Because yeah. I think as a believing child, two things are going to be occurring. Number one, you want to be obedient to your parents. It's kind of one of those things of no matter how old your parents are, you're wanting to be obedient and respectful to your parents. It's
the fifth commandment, honor your mother and father.
It's biblical, and it's also a characteristic of somebody that is likely honoring to others as well. So to dishonor one's parents is just so unusual as a Christian believer. So there's that. There is a reality of wanting to live scripturally towards your parents. But I think there's also a respect, a love, a joy to see one's parents walk before you as an example. So I see this a lot now as my kids are kind of moving into early teen years, that I'm like the uncool dad, but actually secretly I'm the cool dad. You know, it's that kind of like they're watching me and learning from me. And in some senses, they are adapting their life to how I live. Now, I'm sure that that's going to be even more so in 10 years times, 20 years time, as they say, you know, my dad was this, so I want to be that, or my dad was this, and so I want to follow that example. And so as a believing child watching an unbelieving parent, you are likely to see behaviors, beliefs, characteristics that are disappointing. In some senses, your hero, your one that you follow is no longer one that you can actually respect, that you're actually really struggling with that. So even just from, we're not talking about the desperate pain of watching your parents go towards hell. Like we're not even getting to that. We're just getting to the daily life.
Yeah.
Boy, is it hard to watch a parent go an opposite direction, unable to honor them, unable to follow them, unable to really look upon them and go, you're my hero. You're the one I can follow. You're the one that's that rock example I can follow when I don't know what to do.
Yeah. You know, the question so often comes up in these conversations or in this consideration where they'll say, like, I know I'm commanded to honor them. I know I'm commanded, you know, Ephesians 6 to obey them. And, you know, that obedience changes over time as, you know, kids grow up. Like, you know, my kids don't obey me today like they did when they were, you know, children. And I would not expect them to because they're in a different season of life. My, you know, older daughter is married. She should not obey me in the same way that she did when she was under my roof. She has, you know, she's leaving and cleaving to her husband now. But, you know, in the right sense, they're just, you know, I don't want to disrespect my parents.
Yeah.
I want to, you know, we have members who are teenagers and have unbelieving parents.
Yeah.
And sometimes that dynamic is very difficult because sometimes the parents begrudge. Mm-hmm. And so they'll may, and this has not happened, but they may ask a question like, what if my dad says I can't go to church?
Yeah.
What do I do? Do I obey him or do I disobey him? Right. And so the desire like to, you know, to honor parents is there, but they're just, the question is to what extent?
Yeah.
And does honoring them mean honoring their desire not to hear from me about the state of their spiritual life or the state of their soul? Does that mean when they say, I don't want to hear this gospel stuff anymore? And I, you know, I've had, you know, a church member say that, but like their parent has said, I don't want to hear that anymore. And they've asked like, do I obey that? Should I stop? And I think the answer is maybe, but not necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, we obey the Lord above all. And that means sometimes sharing the gospel with people who don't want to hear it. But I would say if you're in an ongoing relationship with somebody and they've heard it, I don't think that means, and they said, I don't want to hear this anymore. I don't think that means like you should never share it again.
Yeah.
But we may be thinking, okay, how can you bear witness,
yep,
right, in a way that is maybe planting some seeds or going to open the door for you to have a better conversation, right? Think of Peter, 1 Peter 3, saying this is not about kids and parents or even parents with children, but husbands with wives, a wife to a husband. Let them see your conduct, right? You know, submit to them. And they may be one, he says, they may be one without a word.
Yeah.
So there's something about if you have an unbelieving spouse, yeah, you're sharing the gospel with them, but at some point also just the way you live your life,
yep,
could be a means of, you know, the Holy Spirit can use that as a bearing of witness. And sometimes I think, you know, believing children with unbelieving parents, that may be an approach to take, and that's okay.
Yeah. I think it's like the car salesman that constantly uses your name, constantly communicates with you, constantly tries to sell you.
Okay.
You get to a point where you're just like, buddy, would you just give me a break to look at the thing? Do you know?
Yeah.
And if you're always at home going, hey, you're not a believer, you're going to hell, you need to know the gospel. You're not a believer, you're going to hell, you need right. to hear the gospel. In some senses, they're going to, yes, the Holy Spirit can use that. But I think more often than not, it's antagonistic. It's antagonistic to your parent who will yeah. only respond as parents. Remember, they're going to live differently from you. If they're off the world, they're not going to follow biblical principles necessarily. So they're going to live in responding to you as how they view their position. I just keep thinking of the end of Jude. Now, Jude mainly is talking to a church and talking to those infiltrating a church. But I think there's application here. Jude 20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith. So there's a reality here that as a child with unbelieving parents, you're still called to build yourself up in the holy faith. Verse 21, keep yourself in the love of God. So even with unbelieving parents, don't doubt that God loves you. Don't doubt your salvation. Don't question, maybe I'm not a believer because my parents are not. Keep yourself in the love of God. And then I love verse 22, have mercy on those who doubt, save others by snatching them out of the fire, and to others show mercy with fear. So mercy, love, and mercy again. Show mercy to your parents. They don't know the Lord. Guide them when you can. Show them through your love for the Lord and pray earnestly that you can have an opportunity to snatch them from the fire. Now, yes, Jude is really talking about the church, but I think we can see some principles here that we can bring into the home. More often than not, the people I've come across whose parents are unbelieving, for years they've done this. For years they have tried to pursue yeah. the Lord, tried to have conversations, and it just kind of goes nowhere. And for that, I want to really say to that child, but also to the church that that child is involved in, boy, we need to be praying for these parents.
Yes.
We need to recognize that if somebody in our small group, in our church membership is saying, my parents don't believe, then we need to put that on our prayer list and be in earnest prayer for that believer, because not only are they under the devil's attack of constantly in that temptation to slip up, do something wrong, anything like that around their parents, but also the heartache that they are feeling right now, knowing that their parents are not one of the faith, not one of the family. So I think show mercy to your parents, keep yourself in the love of God, keep building yourself up in the holy faith. But boy, we really need to pray
for
this family.
What we can't do, the Spirit can. And, you know, use that angst, that concern, that worry that you have, you know, marshal that towards leaning into the Lord, begging yeah. God to change their heart. He can do that. And certainly, he can use your witness, he can use your words, but he can do that and you cannot. Yeah. And so we want to be able to lean in and say, Lord, you know, please save them. And you know, I think a word of encouragement I would say is, I guess in the ways of not giving up, is there are seasons of life for parents and kids. If you're a young person listening, right, if you're like in your early 20s, maybe even just, you know, your 20s, the dynamic between you and your parents may be such where they're not ready to hear that from you because you're still a kid.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm the one who teaches you. I'm the one who tells you what to do. So what are you doing trying to tell me yeah. that my life's not right or that, you know?
Yeah.
But something changes mm-hmm. as you get older and they, you know, they see your way of life. They see your way of living. Mm-hmm. They listen to you differently. That may take longer for some parents with kids than others. But there comes a time where suddenly you're a grown-up in their eyes. You've demonstrated the faithfulness of your life or the stability, perhaps, of your life. You know, don't undersell that, you know, the instability of being an unbeliever, even if just emotional or spiritual, and seeing that, you know, the fruitfulness in your own life or even through hardship and suffering, that how you respond to those things, it begins to open their mind a bit and they'll hear things differently from you. Somebody just asked me recently about how my parents handled me becoming a Calvinist, subscribing to Reformed theology. And I was like, there's never like an argument or anything about it. So I just remember growing up and not knowing what a Calvinist was, but just that it was bad, you know? I remember like hushed conversations. I had a youth pastor when I was like in junior high school who, you know, I think was a, he never even talked about this as far as I know, but I remember, I think my dad saying to my mom something like, man, he's great, but I think he's a Calvinist. And so I was like, oh, what is that? It's almost like a communist, you know? What the, you know? So like, I think he's a, have you now, or have you ever been a communist or a Calvinist? And so like, I knew it was bad.
Yeah.
And then I became one in my college years. I know like this caused some unease for my dad. And there was a lot of stuff that I was like also rethinking, my eschatology, my view of spiritual gifts, et cetera. I was, you know, engaging with the seeker church stuff, all that. So I'm sure it was just like, as I was growing up and sort of asserting my independence and making my own decisions spiritually, I'm sure for my dad was like some of this is not what he's been raised to, you know, subscribe to or adhere to. And, you know, he never gave me a lecture about it, or we didn't have an argument about it. But I could see like every now and then he had a book that he was reading that was about Calvinism. And I just like, I didn't like do a full court press on that. Yeah. Honestly, I didn't care if, you know, what his beliefs were about that. And this is not the same scale as, you know, is someone saved or not. But I could also see like over time, as they watched me grow up, watched my ministry. Mm. Saw what I preached, I could see a shift in my dad's perspective. I don't even know if he's a Calvinist today. Like, we don't have that conversation. What I do know is like he has an affection for the Reformed guys that he didn't have
before. And that takes time. But it also does take respect as well, giving that space. I was just thinking as you were talking, there is a reality that even if your parent is unsaved, and you are taking time to lead them to your beliefs, kind of like how you were describing, one thing doesn't change, that they're still your parent.
Yeah.
They still brought you into this world. They still protected you and guarded you as you were growing up. They still sent you to school. They still worked a job to pay for the bills. There is a reality that we can, as believers, pin everything on salvation, which it's not wrong. Like, we want our parents to be believers. But we do that sometimes void of what they have actually done for us. And so there is a world where you can respect your parent and say, like, I am so grateful for what you do and continue to do. But I am at heartache that you don't believe as I do. But that is not a disrespect to what you have done. And what I'm thinking is, as you're growing older, you shift from this kind of parent-child to almost parent-friend. Like, as you become an adult, you begin to share different experiences. You know, even just thinking with my own mother, you know, I'm in my 30s, mother's in her 60s. We do things differently now. Like, it's kind of orientated around the grandkids. And so really we're all adults together having fun with the grandkids type thing. But there is that she's always my mother. There is just a reality where that never changes. And so if you're witnessing, if you're guiding, if you're doing the slow burner, you're constantly trying to guide your unsaved parents towards the Lord, consistently remember they are your parent. You might not be able to honor all their decisions or all their things they command you to do, or even say, you know, you're not allowed to go to church. And if you're a teenager, there might not be an option that Sunday. You might, I guess, not go to church that Sunday. But there is still a reality that they're still helping you live. And we can give respect and honor to that. We are talking in a world where this is safe to do. I'm just thinking of friends in the past who have converted from Islam and become Christians, and their parents, boy, like, they put their children on the death list of you don't deserve to live now you've done this. So I think in some senses we're talking Western protected world of your parents still love you and care for you even though you're a Christian. I think some of our listeners could be in a background or could be in a situation where actually their parents hate them because of their faith choice. And in that world, that's where you really need to lean on the church's support and need to keep yourself in the love of God, as in Jude, because that's the temptation. Well, I love my parents, and if I give up the Lord, I get my parent back.
Yeah, and remember the blessing of Jesus to say, you know, those who have left fathers and mother and brother, you know, to come to me, like, there's a blessing in that. So you have to trust that Jesus really means that, as difficult as it may be.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's acknowledging that the gospel divides families very often and will. And you're right, you know, we don't, in our immediate context, well, you know, sometimes with international students, we may have this, but it's not normal for us or cultural for us to have that extent. But we do have some who will say, yeah, my parents don't like hate me or anything, but they make fun of me all the time. Yeah. You know, we We have, you know, members who will say like their siblings, you know, give them a hard time, always trying to tempt them. You know, I had a member ask for prayer recently. He was going to visit his family and he was like, they don't understand what it means to be a believer. And not only do they mock me, but they engage in all kinds of sinful behavior around me. And, you know, they don't care about that, you know, the impact of that on me. And he didn't feel particularly tempted to engage in that, but it's just really uncomfortable. Just and they don't care. They're not honoring him. Yeah. So as he tries to honor them, and, you know, I guess one word of encouragement I would say there too is like you living a godly life, pursuing holiness, that is honoring to your parents, whether they recognize it or not. They may not feel it as honor, but just because they don't feel it as honor doesn't mean that they're not being honored. Man, what a testimony it is to them that you would pursue Christ despite them.
Yeah, to honor them with that's zero comeback, zero reward. I want to say in those situations, because I was just thinking, as you were saying that, another brother, kind of similar situation, we could be thinking about the same one. For the churches, for anyone that's sitting there going, you know, I've got Christian parents, we have a wonderful home, all these sorts of things. Support your brother and sister that don't have that. So the two things you can do is, number one, invite them into your family. Give them a family away from family. It's really lonely to not have parents or siblings that are believers, because you have nothing really to talk about. You know, you pass the day, you talk about politics, you do that. And then what? Do you know, there's kind of nothing left. So there's a loneliness that creeps in. So be a family away from family, but also understand that as you're a family away from family, that can also cause hurt. Boy, I wish I had this with my own family. So I think one, we need to be sensitive to it, but two, I think we also need to be loving to say, we understand your position and we're going to do everything we can to negate some of this loneliness, to help you and pray for you and your family, and to know always that if you need space, you can have it. And if you need a family, you can have it. I have one sister in Christ that comes to our home quite a lot and has believing parents, but unbelieving siblings, and just feels lonely that has no one really their age so tight knit as a family that actually to produce a family away from family can often soften some of that and encourage them to go back out and going, okay, I'm going to try again with my siblings. I'm going to try again with my parents. Oh, it didn't work. Okay, well, this is a safe environment. You can come back and, you know, we're going to love you and parent you and all those sorts of things. So I think the question how to deal with parents who are not believers, to some extent, yes, that is a question that the individual needs to answer. But I think that's a question the church needs to answer. How to deal with members whose parents are unbelieving? How can we serve them in that position? And that is an example to the unbelieving parents of, you know, I don't need you to do this, or I know you don't believe in this, but I have a whole family in the church that love me, care for me, and I love them. And that is so countercultural to today's society. Where else do you find a family of all ages, all stages of life that would open their doors, welcome you in, no questions asked? Like, I don't know anything else in the world that does that.
Right.
And that's an example to unbelieving parents that when they rejected their child's way of living, this whole church family stepped in and said, we'll take care of them.
Yeah.
That could be working through the Spirit to lead them to the Lord.
Yeah. We had a testimony recently from a dad, an older dad, who is a believer. He's a Christian. He's not an unbelieving dad, but he was commenting about why he joined our church. And it was when his kids, his daughter and her husband moved here, and all these people from the church showed up to help them move and unpack all their stuff and move all their furniture. And he just was like, that's the kind of church family I want to be a part of. And he had not experienced that previously. And I think unbelieving parents can be impressed by that as well. So don't give up, right? We have the promise from Malachi 4:6 in Luke chapter 1 applied to John the Baptist as fulfillment, but it's around the arrival of the gospel and the promise of the gospel. He will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. It's not a guarantee. It's not a prosperity gospel, but just don't get so discouraged that you give up praying. Don't get so disheartened that you give up bearing witness. Don't get so disillusioned that you give up sharing the gospel. And you may see over time that the Lord is using all of that in ways that you can't even perceive to bring your prodigal parents home.
Yeah.
Imagine that picture of the son or daughter standing on the doorstep and mom and dad coming from far off and you running to meet them. A reversal of that biblical portrait, I think, can be just as true to the spiritual import of that. If you enjoy the podcast, dear listener, please give us a good review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And until next time, may Jesus be big in your church. You've been listening to the For the Church podcast, hosted by Jared Wilson, found online at ftc.co. This resource is brought to you by Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Kansas City, Missouri, where we train leaders for the church.